Welcome, everyone. It's now time for us to begin our call, and I'm going to turn this over to Janet Atwood. Janet?
Hi, Chris. Okay, everybody. I've just been standing for 4 days filming a mega event in India for 2 million people, and so I got a little dust in my throat, so if I sound a little squeaky, that's it. And welcome. Welcome to all of you, and welcome to the Passion Series. I'm the cover editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and author of The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. As most of you know, these calls are all about passion and how passion has helped some of the most successful people in the world realize their dreams. Our intention is that by learning how guests discover and live their passions, you'll discover your own passions and be able to give your unique gift to the world. The German philosopher and inventor Hegel once said, "Nothing great in the world has been accomplished without passion." And one of the most effective ways to connect with your own passions is by hearing the experiences of those who are living them in their own lives. That is our purpose here tonight. And with a squeaky voice, most likely I would have handed this over to Chris. But because Jennifer Hawthorne is one of my very dearest friends, I just told Chris I'm doing it anyway. And Jennifer is so wonderful. She's followed her passions to become an incredibly successful speaker and author. She's the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Woman Soul, Chicken Soup for the Mother Soul, and Chicken Soup for the Single Soul. 4 of Jennifer's books have become number one New York Times bestsellers. More than 12 million of her books have been sold worldwide, and they've been translated into more than 30 languages. So no small feat. That's such a big, wonderful, wonderful coup. Jennifer's Fortune 500 clients include companies like AT&T, Hallmark Cards, Delta Airlines, and Motorola. From my own experience of her, I can tell you that she has a huge heart. She reflects deeply, is profoundly caring, and her success is due in no small measure to her ability to bring these qualities to her writing. Jennifer's latest book, The Soul of Success, is very directly related to our focus on passion this evening. Jennifer, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome, honey. Forgive the voice, and thanks so much for being with us this evening.
Oh, my joy.
I'm also honored to introduce all of you to a fellow member of Jack Canfield's Transformational Leadership Council, who is our co-host tonight and will conduct our interview with Jennifer. Bobby DePorter is the president of Quantum Learning Network and has become renowned for its incredibly successful Super Camp, which provides learning and life skills programs that transform kids' lives. You can learn more about Bobby's great work by going to www.qisinquantuminisinlearningnisinnetwork.com. And by the way, Bobby has a new book coming out April 1st called Quantum Success. So again, you can learn more about that by going to www.qisinquantuminisinlearningnisinnetwork.com. L is in learning. Good, Jen. I'm awake. Okay, www.Q is in quantum, L is in learning. Did I say I?
Yeah.
N is in network.com. Bobby, forgive me. It's a great pleasure to have you join us tonight, and I'll turn it over to you to conduct our interview.
Great. Thanks, Janet.
You're welcome.
Well, first of all, Jennifer, I'm just so pleased to co-host this call in the series and get to interact with you in this way.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Very fun for me. And just reading your materials and catching up on that and your website, I am just really greatly inspired by, I want to say, that the depth of your sharing, because that comes from, I know, a very vulnerable place where you want to share and have people get as much as possible from your learnings and really get to know who you are. And I've also been inspired by what other people have said and all that I've read about you. So
thank you very much.
I'm really pleased to be here. So let's get started.
Okay.
First of all, Jennifer, you have enjoyed incredible success as an author and speaker. And how did your passions lead to your involvement in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series?
Well, it started when I was a child. You know, one of the most precious times of the day for me when I was growing up was my bedtime story time, because my father was a master storyteller. During his life, my father wrote and recorded close to 500 original Brer Rabbit stories. He did all the voices himself, and believe me, when he told a story, he transported my little sisters and me to another world. It was enchanting, It was magical, and we learned so much about human nature and human character from those wonderful animals. And the stories had such an impact on me that by the time I was 7 years old, I was gathering all the children in my neighborhood to come and sit in rows on my driveway so that I could tell them stories. I wanted to teach them. I wanted to talk to them. And although I wasn't really conscious of it yet at that tender age, still, somehow, I really understood the tremendous power of words to be able to transmit something, to move people, to touch them, to heal them. And although I certainly didn't realize it at the time, I really had been given the same gift as my father. So Chicken Soup for the Soul was just a really natural forum for me and a perfect example, I think, of how the universe really orchestrates events to make sure that we're in the right place at the right time to meet the right people when we really are in the flow of surrendering to our soul's passion.
Everyone would want a father like that, too, and just to know the impact, tremendous impact it has on us as children,
mm-hmm.
and to take it and continue and take it and build from there. Your success with the Chicken Soup books resulted in a very successful and busy speaking career, and your latest book is once again directed to women, and its theme is balance, something that we can all use. So how and why did balance become a passion for you?
Well, you know, I've been aware for a long time that balance is really one of the greatest challenges that people, not only in our country, the U.S., but people around the world, especially women, are facing. In fact, I recently read a statistic that said that something like 97.8% of women today say that they feel overwhelmed and stressed out. And I'm sure that there are a lot of men who would say exactly the same thing. But frankly, I've always thought that finding balance in life was more about juggling schedules, you know, sort of a time management kind of thing, or maybe taking more time for ourselves. And those things, of course, really can contribute to finding greater balance in life. But as I interviewed people for my last book, The Soul of Success, I really began to realize that real balance is what happens when everything you're doing on the outside lines up with who you are on the inside. And I saw that when we become clear about who we are on the inside, then the circumstances of our lives begin to shift into alignment with that. And I'll give you a beautiful example of that. One of the women I interviewed for The Soul of Success was Jackie Vines, who is the Vice President and General Manager of Cox Communications in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which happens to be my hometown. Now, Jackie's achieving that kind of status in the corporate world was certainly no small thing, because not only is she a woman, she is also an African-American woman. She grew up in the Northeast, born to a drug addict mother, shuffled around from one foster home to another most of her life. So obviously, this was a tremendous achievement in the way that we think of traditional success. And honestly, Jackie thought she had everything that she wanted. She didn't want to be married. She didn't want children. She felt that her career was her life, that it was her passion, that it was everything, until September 11th, 2001. The day of 9/11, Jackie was scheduled to give a presentation at the Cox headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was really going to be a career-defining moment for her. It was a budget presentation that she had worked months on. She walked into the conference room that morning, however, just in time to see the second plane hit the second of the Twin Towers in New York City, and she said, simultaneously, everybody got up and left the room to go and call someone. And she sat there realizing that she had no one to call. Well, it was not a career-defining moment as much as it was a life-defining moment for Jackie, because at that point she really began to ask herself the question, what is the point of all this success if I have no one to leave it to? And in fact, she said that she had to become painfully honest to accept the fact that she had had a major gap in her life and had not even had a clue it was there. Now, the point that I want to make with this story is that as soon as Jackie got so clear that what she had in her life was not what she wanted, the universe stepped in, it conspired to create, set up the circumstances which would change Jackie's life. The circumstances brought her niece into her life, and to make a long story short, she has ended up raising her niece's two small girls. It's something that has added a dimension of joy that she speaks about in a way that is just completely radiant. She has humor. My favorite line of the story is when she says, you know, it is a humbling experience to realize that I can run a $150 million company, but I cannot get a two-year-old to eat her broccoli. Now, the trick, of course, is how do we know what's true for us on the inside? We're talking about balance here and how true balance comes when everything on the outside lines up with who we are on the inside. I love that famous line from Shakespeare's Hamlet that says, "This above all, to thine own self be true." But how do we do that when we are so conditioned to live life based on how society thinks we should be, or how our parents think we should be, or how our spouses or our partners or our kids think we should be? For Jackie, it happened because she was forced into it. But this is the point. This is the path. And it takes a ruthless commitment to being honest with ourselves to really discover what's true for us. And I honestly believe it's worth it. At least that's what I'm experiencing in my life.
Going along and just making assumptions or accepting what is, or having these rigid pictures that would, I could just picture when you were talking about her, and actually just got chills when you said that moment, because just standing there and seeing an empty room,
right?
It hit you so hard.
Right. It's amazing what can be the catalyst for these kinds of moments, but I really believe that they happen to us all the time. And as long as we're paying attention, then it really is an opportunity for us to go deeper. And any time we can go deeper, we are setting up the conditions in our own life for greater transformation to become the people that we really want to be.
It's something very interesting there when we're paying attention. How many times do things come and they pass us by because we didn't see it?
Right. Oh, it's so true.
Yeah. Well, what do you see as the relationship between balance, success, and passion?
Okay, boy, that's a big topic. Balance, success, and passion. Okay, we've just talked about balance and what I think true balance is. Let's take a few minutes just to talk about success and passion, and then maybe we can relate the three of them. You know, I think the most important thing I can say about success is that you have to define it for yourself. Because until you do, you're always going to be buying into society's definition of success, which is about wealth, achievement, status, power, and it's unlikely that you will ever be fulfilled in a long-term way if you're looking to those kinds of things to base your success on. I love what Anna Quindlen said about this. She's one of my favorite writers. She said, if success is not on your own terms, if it looks good to the world but does not feel good in your heart, then it is not success at all. And for those of you watching the Olympics right now, you've probably been or had your attention captured, let's say, by the American skier Bodie Miller. And I loved what he said last night in an interview. He said, you know, some skiers look to others after a race to tell them how they've done, but that he knows when he skied a good race, and that's what matters to him. In other words, he's defining success for himself. For me, success means peace. I discovered a long time ago that even at moments of the greatest success in the traditional sense, for example, when Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul became a number one New York Times bestseller, that was a moment of such great joy and excitement and deep satisfaction for me. But at the end of the day, of course, it was too superficial to last. It wasn't superficial at the time, but it's not something that could last. So for me, success is the ability to be at peace regardless of the circumstances in my life. We have to find a definition for ourselves. Now, when it comes to passion, this is not only one of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise's favorite topics. It's really one of my favorite topics as well. I think that it is so critical, though, not to confuse passion of the soul with passion of the mind. I think it's so important not to confuse passion with adrenaline. Passion does not have to be excited. In fact, I think that true passion is much more likely to be quiet. It's more likely to be natural. It's something that we don't really have to figure out or think about a lot. It's something that we're just drawn to. Another woman that I interviewed for The Soul of Success, who really brings great clarity of expression to this issue, is Deva Premal, whose name many of you will recognize because her music, of course, has been at the top of New Age music charts for the last 6 or 7 years now. And, you know, when Deva gave me her story, she told me that she had grown up in a very, very musical family, lots of musical talent, and she was no exception. But she, as she grew older, tended to discount her gift as a singer and as a musician because it came so naturally. Fortunately for us, that turned around, and she sort of rediscovered as an adult that it doesn't have to be hard. You know, we have such a mentality in our culture these days of no pain, no gain, and if it's something that comes easily or simply to us, then it can't really be meaningful. And I really, really love what Deva said about this. She said, "I never saw a bird striving to be more beautiful or trying to sing a song more challenging than the one it's been given." What beautiful expression for doing what comes naturally to us. And, you know, in terms of the relationship between balance and success and passion, I don't really think that the relationship is a causal one. I don't think that if we have one, it causes another to exist. I really feel that all three will just arise simultaneously in our lives when any individual one of them is experienced, because all three of them are really arising from something much deeper, and I believe that that is a commitment to oneself, a commitment to knowing oneself. And again, I go back to the discussion about balance. When we really embark on that journey to discover who we are and what's true for us, to discover the true nature of who we really are, then of course our passion is going to be revealed to us. Of course we're going to be doing what we love. We're going to be experiencing success because our definition of success is going to include living our passion. And any time we're living our passion, we must experience a sense of balance in life. Ooh, that was a mouthful.
It was.
That's a lot to digest.
I know. I don't know. I was back there, too, with the... I loved what you said about just the birds and how they just be. So I was right there. You know, when you walk out in the morning and it's so quiet and you can hear the birds singing and just related to why you feel so good when you go out there and just... It's so silent, and that's all you're hearing, and they're so beautiful.
Mm.
Just being who they are.
Being who they are. Being who they are, that's right.
Yes. Well, in your book, you talk about effortless success. That sounds really good. So can success really be effortless?
Did I really say that?
I'm waiting here for the answer. So.
Well, here's the truth of it. I really... really do believe that true success will always be effortless. But the caution here is this: we must not confuse the word effortless with not working hard. I have to tell you that I have worked very, very hard in my life to manifest the things that I've cared about and to really try to listen to and follow my soul's passion. But what I've discovered is this: when you are on fire with your passion, you absolutely transcend the hard parts. And I'll give you an example of this. I've been speaking for many years, as you know, Bobby, and I have to tell you, there are thousands of details that go into ensuring a great presentation for a client and for an audience. And there are so many details, in fact, that at times they can be completely overwhelming, they can be exhausting, they can be very, very stressful. The travel problems and the stress of traveling, you know, can just be extraordinary and very, very challenging to deal with. But for me, the minute I get on stage and begin to connect with my audience, I literally enter into a state of sublime beauty, a state of peace that completely transcends every headache, every hard moment, every stressful experience that brought me to that moment. And that's really what I mean by effortless success. I mean, really, you know, passion, I think, plays such an important role in this, because when we are living our passion, there may be difficulties attached to it. There may be hard parts to it, but the truth is that the passion allows you to transcend the hard parts so that you get to experience that moment when your soul is literally on fire because you're living your destiny. I feel very passionate about that.
No, I can tell. My God, you know, it's like, I mean, you're picturing, you know, and I know those times when you were talking about the travel, the misplanes, you know,
yes.
You have your suitcase and all those times, and that question comes up, now, why am I doing this? And then you get in that moment when you were talking about the flow and what it felt like when you were really living your passion, and it's right there in the moment, and it's like, oh, yes, this is why I'm doing it.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Well, I want to hear more stories about that, but before we do, I want to give the listeners the URL to learn more about Soul of Success, and they can do that by going to healthywealthyandwise.com/soul of success. So that's healthywealthyandwise.com/soul of success. So, Jennifer, will you share one or two more stories about effortless success that you know about?
Yes, I'd love to. I think that one of the parts of my life that really expresses this very beautifully occurred right after I graduated from college. I was living in Washington, D.C., and I walked to work every day from my DuPont Circle apartment past these beautiful landscaped gardens and past these, you know, enormous, exquisite government buildings, including the Peace Corps building. And I was very, very happy. I was in a wonderful relationship. I was living in this exciting city. And everything was just, on the surface, so beautiful. And yet one day, as I was walking to work, the thought arose in me, there must be more to life than this. And I could not shake that thought. And every morning as I walked to work, the thought would come up until finally one day I found myself stopping outside the Peace Corps building. And all of a sudden I walked in, and the next thing I knew, I found myself asking for an application. Well, I applied for the Peace Corps. I was accepted, and the next thing I knew, I was in West Africa teaching English to high school students for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Then the next thing I knew, it was 2 years later, and I was in East Africa. And I was traveling through the game parks of East Africa in a Land Rover with friends. And one morning I was asleep in the back seat of my Land Rover, camped out as we were on the rim of the famous Ngorongoro crater in Tanzania, when suddenly I awoke at dawn with two Maasai warriors holding spears looking down at me through the glass. Then the next thing I knew, I was in Kathmandu in Nepal getting my permit to go trekking in the Himalayas. And the next thing, I was in India holding hands with Mother Teresa. I could tell you 1,000 stories about my life, but every single one of these experiences transformed me. And what I would have to say about them in terms of this effortless success that we're talking about is that these experiences really set my life on a trajectory of following my soul's passion, which has really been to discover and articulate the spiritual essence of all human experience. I want to say this again because I've really just gotten in touch with this in preparation for this interview, the discovery that my soul's passion is to discover and articulate the spiritual essence of all human experience. And every time I share these stories, even now in this interview with all of you, I'm not even telling you the details, and yet I'm fulfilling my life purpose. And to me, that really, really fits my definition of success. And this was effortless. These experiences were effortless. One experience carried me to the next. I didn't have to think about these things. Life simply unfolded for me because I said yes to everything. And I have the feeling that what we're doing right now probably fits everyone's definition of success. To be part of this moment right now, sharing with one another, here I am sharing some of my deepest thoughts about passion with you. You, in turn, are all sharing your openness with me, your receptivity, your consciousness with me. And I love that because, you know, Maya Angelou, the famous, marvelous woman and poet, said in one of her poems, nobody, but nobody can make it out here alone. And here we are together doing everything we can in this moment to find greater meaning in life. I love what the Bushmen say about this. You know, they say that there are two kinds of hunger. There's a physical hunger, and then there's what they call the great hunger, the hunger for meaning. And isn't this what all of us are doing right now, sharing together so that we can all find greater meaning in our lives? I would call this an effortless success for all of us. All we had to do was pick up a telephone, and here we are, connected through the great grace of the divine and the divine's organizers in Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and Chris Atwood and Janet Atwood. It's so marvelous. It's such a mystery, isn't it?
It is, and I got that when you were talking about effortless success and your own passion and articulating your own passion and knowing when you're living it and what you're doing brings peace. Where you started with and how, you know, that was what you were coming from, too, as success, so that it all comes together.
Well, you know, Bobby, the times when I have been most miserable in my life, the times when I have really experienced a lot of suffering, are the times when I have ignored that inner calling, the times when I have tried to make something else happen, and I have just simply not paid attention or not remembered what I was put on this earth to do, which, as I've already described to you, was so incredibly and easily revealed to me when I was a child.
We get trapped, too, in that what we should, or thinking of other people's opinions in some ways and what we should be doing something different, or, as you said in the beginning, too, or defining success in different ways than for us, our own.
That's right.
Yeah, we're trying to please somebody else or do something.
And you know, for people really asking themselves the question, I know lots of people in our audience are already very, very successful and very much in touch with their own passion. But for those of you who are really looking for a way to reflect on this more deeply, I would say absolutely take a look at your childhood and really reflect on the things that you were drawn to as a child, because they will reveal so much to you that in turn will really, I think, connect you to an effortless success.
I just had a picture of my sister when you said go back to your childhood, is that she always wanted to be a doctor and her life just took her so many ways and she didn't do it till she was 50, but it was all of a sudden, here I'm back to my passion. I knew it as a child and didn't take action, and you hear that so often as people are so passionate about something, but again, they want to please somebody or go in a different direction or just don't give it value.
That's right. My sister, speaking of sisters, one of my sisters had a passion for animals when we were children. I mean, to actually quite to my mother's distress. Because, you know, all of a sudden we would find, you know, a little baby alligator in a bucket in her bedroom, you know. But to this day, she says that one of the great regrets of her life was that she did not go to veterinarian school, that to have followed that passion would have undoubtedly brought her much greater satisfaction and happiness than what she's doing now. Which is wonderful work as a special ed teacher, but not what was really shown to her as a child. So I think we can really all learn lessons from that. And remember, as you said about your sister, that it's never too late.
Yes.
Never. I really believe that.
Well, the soul of success suggests that inner experience is a better barometer of success than external measures like wealth, salary, acclaim, or achievements. We've talked a bit about that, but is there a relationship between inner experience and these external measures?
Well, there's definitely a relationship, but let me first say that I don't think that inner experience is a better barometer of success. It's just a different one. And I think that one of the most important points to bring into this discussion is that outer success or traditional success, as we tend to think of it, you know, the money, the achievements, the status, the power, this kind of success we know now is absolutely no guarantee of happiness. And I think that one of the best examples of that I've ever heard came from Lynn Twist, who described in her book The Soul of Money her experience of talking with top women executives of Microsoft Corporation. And here's what she said. First of all, she described these women. She said that their average age was 36 years old. Their average net worth was about $10 million. But she said that they rarely saw their families, and for most of them, their lives completely centered around their computers. Most of them took very little time to enjoy their material possessions, even though they certainly had anything they could possibly want on the level of the material. They experienced very little satisfaction from their money. In fact, most of them said that they used their wealth largely to buy more child care services and more home care services, which ultimately just enabled them to work longer and harder. And they kept hoping that someday their success would bring them freedom, but by their own admission, they were not living the lives they wanted, and as a result, really felt that they were not free. So, yes, there's absolutely a relationship between inner experience and our inner experience and external measures, but I think that the degree of happiness that we experience as it relates to the external circumstances of our lives is always going to be determined by how true we're being to ourselves.
And that inner experience is something that we can control, and the outer experience is not something that we always can control.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so often we work from the outer experience and try to fit our inner experience into that.
Yes.
When truly, if we take the time to get out of the conditioning, to stop listening to the other voices, but to listen only to our own silent voice within, that can really make the difference in that shifting of the external circumstances that we've already talked about this evening.
I liked your word just saying someday. So many people, I'll be doing this, and then someday it'll move to something that brings me happiness. But that someday is not today.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, in your book, you explore the role that 30 principles, not generally associated with success, play in achieving success. They include things like compassion, self-love, intuition, forgiveness, and accountability. I love the list. I mean, every one of them you say and you reflect on. Will you talk with us about how such principles relate to the success one experiences in life?
Yes, I'd love to, because this is a real passion of mine. You know, I feel that in our culture, in Western culture, let's just say, we spend so much time and effort on doing things to be successful that we really often forget about the simplicity of just being. And as I gathered stories from women for my book, The Soul of Success, I really began to see that if we just allow ourselves to be different, we can experience greater success than we've ever experienced before by doing things. Now, I don't have a problem with traditional success. I don't have a problem with techniques like time management and goal setting, which I think, you know, can be very valuable tools for us. But the point is that I feel that there are deeper values within us that have the potential to really make the kinds of changes in our lives that we care about and that sometimes can even save our lives. There's a beautiful example of that in the story I received from Jenny Walden, one of the women in my book, that I really want to share with you because it is so powerful and it's had such an impact on my life. Jenny found herself in the hospital one night She had been diagnosed with stage 3 advanced breast cancer, and believe me, it was such a shock because Jenny had been so healthy all her life. She had been extraordinarily healthy. She, as a teen, almost made the U.S. Olympic swim team. She was so talented in that area. She was a great athlete, and although she didn't make the Olympics, she really continued all her life to swim with a passion, to coach swimming, to eat well, to have lots of, you know, outdoor air and, you know, fresh air, exercise, sunshine. And she was just a picture of good health. So when she was diagnosed with the breast cancer, it was just such a shock. She went through all the traditional therapies. She adopted a lot of alternative therapies as well. And finally, as a last resort, the doctors recommended that she do this very risky treatment called stem cell rescue that many of our listeners may be familiar with. It's where stem cells are extracted from the bones in the body and frozen while the body is exposed to large doses of chemotherapy, which hopefully kill all the cancer cells. And then the stem cells are reintroduced into the body, and theoretically, if all goes well, by the 10th day, everything kicks back in and is working normally. Well, Jenny was on her 9th day, and her blood cell count was so low that she had to be admitted to the hospital, where they put this big sign on the door that essentially meant, do not breathe on me or I will probably die. She was really in bad shape, and as she stood in front of the mirror looking at herself, she saw her bald head, the dark circles under her eyes, her emaciated frame. And she said, you know, friends had always said to her, Jenny, you need to love yourself unconditionally. But she said she had never had a role model for that. Her parents had been very, very hard on her. She really didn't know what unconditional love meant. But as she stood there at the sink looking at herself in the mirror, she said that suddenly from deep within her belly there arose this feeling of compassion for herself. It came all the way up to her eyes, and she started to cry. And she suddenly started to massage herself, to touch her body, she said, the way a mother would bathe an infant. And the whole time she talked to herself and she said, I love you, to her body, and I care about you. I love you so much. And after she had massaged her whole body like that, she got into bed. She said she felt, you know, really great after doing that. And she went to sleep feeling pretty good. And then she said the next morning, the nurses came in, they drew her blood, as always, and then a short time later, the doctor came in and suddenly threw up his hands and started yelling. And all the nurses on the ward came running to see what had happened. Jenny said, they probably thought I had died, but he said, yesterday her blood counts were 600. Today they're 7,700. They are normal. And they thought that there must be some mistake or that she had a fever or something, but 2 days later she was still completely normal and they allowed her to go home. And now it's about 7 years, 8 years later, and Jenny is still cancer-free. And I have to say, you know, to me, this is the power of self-love. Self-love is when we do something for ourselves, whether it's exercising at the gym or eating well or whatever it is. But we don't do it from the mind. We don't do it from the level of the mind, thinking that we should or that we're obligated to do it. But we do it as an act of self-love. And, you know, Jenny's story went so deep into my heart and psyche that when I got home from Hawaii 2 years ago, where I had met Jenny and was given her story, I asked myself if I could do the same thing. I was dealing with the reoccurrence of a little basal cell carcinoma that had reappeared on the side of my nose. And I had done everything, like Jenny, I had done everything to try to heal this, and in desperation, really, and feeling like a failure, to tell you the truth, I had finally broken down and made an appointment for a biopsy because I knew that it was growing and I needed to have it tended to. But one morning I sat and I said, can I love myself the way Jenny Walden did? And even though Jenny's happened in such a spontaneous way and mine was introduced from the level of the mind, I really began to pour love into my body and do the same thing that Jenny did. I said, I love you. And I, you know, I touched the side of my nose and said, I love you. You know, what can I do for you? And within moments, the answer came to me, what I needed to do. And I'll just tell you that within 10 days, I was able to cancel my appointment for my biopsy because my cancer was gone. And to me, this is the power of self-love. And you mentioned that, you know, I actually have 27 principles in the Soul of Success, like self-love. They're all on the level of different ways of being rather than doing more. I feel like we just know how to do everything. We have every book that could ever be written to tell us how to be successful on the level of doing. But now let's be quieter. Let's adopt some of these more feminine principles of success, things that have to do with receiving more, being gentler to ourselves, being more open to be able to hear the voice within us, because honestly, I feel that all of the answers are in us if we just allow ourselves to be quiet enough to hear them. So that's how I feel that these principles of being can really relate to one's experience of success in life, Bobby.
You said the line, what can I do for, you know, yourself? What can I do for me? And that's a line that it's really nice when we say it to others or we hear it, but to say it to yourself, you know, I think that we would be much more likely to, oh, I'll help others all the time, rather than, okay, it's okay to say that to yourself, that what can I do for me?
Right, and so often we run to other people for answers also. Believe me, I'm so guilty of this myself. But I feel as though I'm learning over time. As I hear a story, like this story of Jenny Walden that I've just shared with you, and you know, in a short form, of course, I take inspiration. When I hear a story like that, I feel that what happens is that it's not necessarily that I'm given a how-to, but somehow the energy, the vibration of what Jenny did for herself gets imprinted in me, and that can somehow operate in my life from my circumstances, from my own success, from my own passion, and really take me to a much more glorious place.
It resonates with you as well.
Yeah.
You recognize the message, and sometimes it's reminding us of the message that we know, and it hits us in a very different way that makes all the difference.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, we talk about self-acceptance, and you also talk about the power of acceptance. So what do you mean by this, and how does it help someone achieve success?
Well, acceptance was another of the 27 principles that I really explored. And I have to say that it's such a critical thing for me personally that I'm really, really glad that you've asked about it, because I mentioned earlier that my definition of success is to be at peace no matter what the circumstances of my life are. I take Gandhi's words deeply into my heart. You know, one of the most famous things that Gandhi said was, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. And I have discovered that acceptance of other people, situations, politics, acceptance is such a basic key to the experience of success, regardless of what your own definition of success is. And I think that it's one of the most significant things we can do to allow the divine to really work through us and to allow our passion to be expressed, because when we accept, it means that we have stopped focusing on others, we've stopped blaming, we've stopped criticizing, we've stopped judging, and we've come to realize that there are literally millions of different people on this planet, different energies, different expressions in this universe. And when we stop paying so much attention to them and how wrong they are because they don't agree with the way we experience life, then we just free up so much energy to give ourselves and to give to the things that we're passionate about. I mean, why would we even want everybody to be the same? How boring this life would be if we agreed with everybody and if everybody saw the world in exactly the same way that we do. And, you know, another angle on this I think that it is really serving me well right now is one of the principles that Stephen Shapiro talks about in his new book, which is just one of the best books I've read in a long time. It's called Goal-Free Living. And I know the concept of goal-free living is really contrary to those of us who have been immersed in a world of orientation toward traditional success. We've been taught to such a great degree that success is so dependent on setting goals. But I love the way Shapiro talks about goal-free living and the spontaneity that it allows for in life. He really doesn't say that, you know, we should never have goals in life. But one of the secrets that he talks about in his book is really operating beautifully in my life right now, and this is it. He says, want what you have. And I love that because it brings me into the present. It means that when I can fully accept my circumstances, when I can fully accept where I live, you know, in other words, not complain about the cold winters in the Midwest where I live, and when I can fully accept what I do for a living, when I can fully accept my relationships or the changing form of my relationships, when I can fully accept everything that exists right now in my life, then what that means is that I am not looking to some future moment or some external thing that I might have one day, as you were talking about, Bobby, to base my happiness on. And in this acceptance, I feel that the ground is really laid for something even greater than what I have to be able to manifest, because now it can arise from contentment rather than the experience of agitation or dissatisfaction. That's really what we're experiencing when we're always looking to the future or always looking to something else that we think is going to make us happy.
Probably also gave some room for something to come in, and
right,
yeah, and
it frees up a lot of energy when we accept. And of course, when we talk about acceptance, I'm not talking about agreeing with everybody at all. Of course, we can be true to ourselves and still be accepting of people that we disagree with. I read something so beautiful along these lines today. For those of you who are involved in 12-step programs or recovery programs of any kind, you may be familiar with the organization called Al-Anon, which is designed for people who have family members who are alcoholics or substance abusers. And in some of the literature, the Al-Anon literature, there's a little book called Courage to Change. And I was so struck that today's reading, the reading for February 21st, the writer said how fortunate it was that he understood the power of acceptance, because if he had not understood that, then he would never have gotten together with his sponsor. You know, people in 12-step programs are invited to have a sponsor, someone who can really mentor them in this very, very beautiful program. And he said his sponsor's political views are so abhorrent to him that if he had not been able to accept that they could disagree in the area of politics, he would have missed out on something so exquisite in his life, which was this beautiful mentoring relationship that his sponsor was really bringing to him. So, no, we don't have to agree with others to accept them. To me, acceptance simply means that we no longer allow the differences that we perceive between ourselves and others to be a hindrance to us and to our own personal growth.
You say more. You said a word about being true to ourselves, and I know that comes up. I've seen it come up so often, and I'm sure it's come up a few times for me. But when we disagree, and it depends the subject or the level or the depth of that disagreement, and how do you be true to yourself and accept? It seems that I see this place where people feel that they have to distance, or they, in some way, because if they do accept, then they're not true to themselves.
Mm. That's a very beautiful question. I'm practicing this myself these days, and I recently, for example, wrote a letter to one of my sisters down in Louisiana. really apologizing for some of the things that I had done to her in my life. You know, I was the big sister, and sometimes I was not always the kindest person to her, especially when we were growing up. And I said, you know, I really wish that we were closer, but I feel that we have so many differences in the way we view the world that it just doesn't seem possible. And, you know, my sister called me after she got that letter, and she said, you know, Jennifer, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're family, and we have the love of family, and we have the support of family. And I have to say, I was so touched by that. And what I'm finding in my own life is that more and more, as I get truer to myself, as I become more in touch with what's true for me, what comes into my environment are the things that support me, the things that are in alignment with me, the people who are in alignment with the way I view the world, and the others just seem to fall away. You know, it's so much the nature of life to change, and this is one of the changes that I'm experiencing. But if I do, get into a conversation perhaps with someone who says something that I really don't agree with, what I find myself saying is something like this: well, I don't agree with you, but I completely accept that is your viewpoint. It's different from mine, but I know that there's room in this world for many different viewpoints. And let's just agree to disagree on this one. So I think that something very, very beautiful happens when you're no longer pushing against something. You know, when there's no... But when you become attached to a position on anything, even though you know that it's the right position, even though you know that your political view is the right one, there's always going to be someone to push against you. You know, there's always going to be somebody and something to push against you. The minute you drop the struggle and realize that your viewpoint is your own, but somebody else's viewpoint is his or her own too, then again, we get back to what I said a few minutes ago. We just free up so much energy to allow for what's really true for us to come pouring through. It has to happen. It has to happen. Sometimes I am just amazed at the things I allow myself to put attention on. And then when I realize that, I drop it, and boy, life changes quickly. That's the power that we have.
And just let it flow through you. You know, I was thinking about how different situations, some are more distant. So, yes, I can accept that. It's out there in the world. It really doesn't come across my personal path very often.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at things that are really close to me or very personal, or that somebody's different opinion is taking a project or something in a different direction. I don't know if you can say some words with that. It's that kind of, I'm seeing a needle, you know, of the degree of distance. And, oh, yes, I can be very accepting of something that's happening, you know, in another company. It's not mine, and mm-hmm. it's not affecting me. But when it gets real personal for me and gets right in my face, and I think it ups the ante a bit about, okay,
yeah.
just being in that state to flow through. Any tips on... getting into that state and letting that flow through.
That's very, very beautiful, Bobby. And here's what comes up for me. It is just a practice. It's just a practice. And, you know, we could even call it a spiritual practice, to practice accepting what comes up in our environment and to practice being true to ourselves. And I think that so often what causes the discomfort in us, particularly when, you know, it's that up-close and personal sort of in-your-face situation, is that we're so afraid that we won't be loved. We're so afraid that we won't be liked by the other person if we express what's really, really true for us. And in that situation, we find ourselves so unbelievably vulnerable. We can even find ourselves getting very raw. I mean, by the time I had finished working on the Soul of Success, and had gone so deeply with the women in my book and all of these principles like self-love and acceptance and self-acceptance and self-expression like Deva Premal, I was absolutely raw and so vulnerable as I felt my own life influenced by the sharing of those women's stories. I could feel the energy of them, and I knew that I was being changed by them. And it was not something that I felt I had even asked for. You know, I didn't go into that process wanting to become more open and more raw and more vulnerable.
Yes.
But what I discovered at the end of that process was that being vulnerable is an exquisite place to be. I'm not afraid to cry. I'm not afraid to cry in front of somebody, even in a situation that someone might say, oh, well, this is a professional situation and you shouldn't do that. I feel that expressing what's in my heart at any given time is one of the most powerful things that I have ever known. And the more I do it, the more practiced I become, the easier it becomes. And what I observe, Bobby, is that people respond to that. When I'm in my heart and coming from a place of what is so true for me, even if they don't agree with it, the universe is moved by that level of truth. And the power will stop. The power struggle will stop. It is so powerful. It literally feels to me like the ability to move mountains. And I strongly encourage everybody to practice that if you're not already.
Well, it can take some courage in the beginning or in other situations, and having that courage, and what you talk about is just a place of freedom and just freedom to be yourself and to just be. And when you talk about, you know, it's so true, and that when you were talking, I was just seeing how powerful those changes would happen. You can't even, it's not a plus B plus C, you know, to make a change. It's just on another level and makes a very powerful change and movement.
Well, you know, it does take a lot of courage, but I think that the question we all need to ask ourselves is, what would happen if this person didn't love me anymore? You know, what really would happen? The only thing that is truly important in that situation is, can I continue to love myself? Can I be there for myself as I speak my truth? That's the thing that we have to look at.
Back to your very powerful message. You went in your story with Jenny and the compassion for self and how that's so key.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Well, as we're moving along, would you give our listeners three specific things that they can do in the coming week to begin the process of creating effortless success in their lives?
I would love to do that. And I'd like to do it from the level of mind, body, and spirit, because, you know, I feel that the greatest clarity about our own lives can really arise when we learn how to take care of ourselves. And taking care of ourselves has to be on every level, on the level of mind, body, and spirit, because that's what makes up the whole individual. So let's start with the level of the body. And the first thing I would say is, if you want to take one step in the direction of effortless success this week, see if you can discover something that would allow you to start taking better care of your body. The first thing that comes to my mind is sleep. Get more sleep, because as a culture, we are really sleep deprived. And for any of you who wake up in the morning to an alarm clock, I have to remind you that you're not getting enough sleep. When we are rested, that is when we have clarity of the mind, and that is when passion can really be permitted to flow through us. It's very hard to feel passionate about anything when we're tired and when we're exhausted. So try going to bed early, just one night. See what happens if you get more sleep. And also, right along those lines of the body, I do have to throw out something that I'm passionate about, and that is yoga. I know you hear a lot of speakers in this Passion series talk about yoga, and I have to add my own two cents to this. I feel that that if you were to do one thing this week in the direction of effortless success, it could be, if you're not already doing yoga, investigate yoga classes in your area, something, a beginner's yoga class that could fit into your schedule, because I guarantee the balance and the strength and the flexibility that yoga brings to the body absolutely translate into balance and strength and flexibility in life. Now, on the level of the mind, I would say this. Come up with your own definition of success this week, if you can. Really reflect on it and see if you can be crystal clear about what success means to you. That's a concrete step that you could take this week. And if you need help, or if you'd like a structure in which to really reflect on what success means, by all means, take Janet Atwood's passion test. And no, she did not ask me to say this, but if you go to the healthywealthyandwise.com website, you will find how to access Janet's passion test, and it will be worth every cent, because it is a beautiful, beautiful structure that can get you reflecting on the things that are really meaningful for you, the things that you really care about in life. And then the other area, of course, is the area of spirit. And I would say that if you wanted to take one step in the direction of effortless success this life related to spirit, then start reflecting on your life, and especially on what matters to your heart. Because when we talk about spirit, spirit is really experienced through the heart for the human being, I think. And if you don't already meditate, I would say try sitting quietly, even for a few minutes during the week, and just feel the silence within you. Another thing that you might do, if you really want a structure for a spiritual practice, is to look into one of the 12-step programs that I mentioned. I find the 12-step program to be one of the most beautiful spiritual practices that I've done in over 30 years of conscious spiritual practice. Just look for one that might fit you. I know many of you might say, well, you know, I don't have an addiction of any kind, and isn't 12 steps for addicts? Well, the truth is that most of us have some kind of an addiction. For me, I know I've really struggled with workaholism. But if you don't, then you're probably in relationship with somebody who does. And this can be a beautiful structure for spiritual practice. You'll be amazed at how committed you have to become to yourself to do one of these programs. So I think that's more than three things, but those are just some of my thoughts on some concrete things you could do this week, and I hope that there's something there for everybody to take away.
Yes, a lot of power in doing them and making that commitment, is taking the step and just agreeing with yourself, being compassionate with yourself and saying, I'm going to do it.
And you know,
take those steps.
The thing is, it doesn't have to take a lot of time. You know, one of the most important themes of mine in The Soul of Success was when I talked about these principles of being rather than doing, is that I feel that we're so overloaded in our society that we're not looking for things that are going to take a lot of time. But you can reflect when you're driving to work. You know, don't turn the radio on. Use that time to reflect on your own life. When you're standing in line at the post office, use that time to think about, what does my heart really care about? How long can it take to look up a yoga class? You know, take a few minutes just to notice the silence. You can do that while you're standing in line, too. You don't even have to close your eyes. So when I give these suggestions, I really give them with a tremendous sensitivity to things that we can do to put us in a direction that really don't have to take up a lot of time or involve effort, because we're looking for effortless success. That's what we're talking about. So we don't want to require any effort in that process.
And then you have the motivation to do it, and you're right there in the moment. I love the one about the car. So habit forming, just to turn on the news.
Right.
Somebody's talk, and just the difference when you just, I don't have to do this, and push a button, and it's just silent in the car with drive time that we have.
That's right.
So here's a question for you, Jennifer. Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise believes strongly in the power of intention. What is your current biggest project, and what intention would you like us, along with our listeners, to hold for you?
Well, I really deeply appreciate that. And, you know, in December, I would say that I really came to a natural completion of what was about a 3-year period in my life where I wrote 2 books, I did a lot of traveling and promoting of the books, I established 2 websites, including my Soul of Success online community. And instead of jumping into another project, for the first time in my life, I am happy to report that I am being still. And I have to say, it is a new experience for me to look at a calendar that has maybe 1 appointment scheduled for the entire week. And what I really wanted to do was to allow for enough spaciousness in my traditionally very, very busy and overbooked life to see what would happen. And what has emerged for me is a process of letting go that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced. I'm finding myself letting go of old possessions, of books, of furniture, of old relationships, of old forms of relationships. I find myself letting go of old beliefs and conditioning that are no longer serving me. And I'm even letting go of the identity that I've had for so long as a speaker and writer. I have been so identified as that when I'm so much more than that. And so I gratefully accept and receive everyone's intention and support for just being in this quietness and this stillness as long as it takes to really be able to hear the wisdom of my soul as it guides me into the next phase of my life. And I thank you so deeply for that.
Hold that intention.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, what single idea would you like to leave us with tonight?
Well, you know, I think that one of the most important things that I've learned in life is that it really does go in cycles. There are always going to be peaks and there are always going to be valleys, as trite as that may sound. And the one thing that we can count on in life, as I said earlier, is that it is always going to change. So to me, if we look to the externals in life to base our happiness on, we're always going to be disappointed. And to me, the greatest thing that we can do for ourselves is to find the place within us that does not change. That is the place of silence that I've mentioned a couple of times tonight. It's the place within us that allows us to know that we are eternal, infinite beings. It's what some people call Source, some people call God, higher power, soul, consciousness, self, but regardless of what you call it, I feel that when we know this place of silence within us, then we also know that this business of living that we seem to work so hard at is really nothing more than just an expression of divine consciousness. And that for all our talk about what we can do to be happy, what we can do to be happy or successful, truly, we are not the doer. But as one of my favorite spiritual teachers, Ramesh Balzekar, says, we are not the doer, but we have to act as if we are. So I think that my final words to everyone would be, just relax, be still, and watch what unfolds. Your role and your passion will always be revealed to you effortlessly if you just allow that to take place, not worry about it too much, and then it's just up to you to enjoy.
What I started with was looking at the clues in childhood, and I love that that you talk about, and being that silence that you talk about, and that when we're silent, those clues become more aware to us that we can act on them. And you're talking about the defining success for ourselves, and in that silence that we can find that success for ourselves and accept it, you know, accept it on our own terms and what that is for us. This has been really wonderful talking with you, Jennifer. It's a real treat, both learning from you and listening and getting inspired and moved from you and to get to know you better. And I've really enjoyed that and that I was able to do this. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Bobby.
And now back to you, Janet.
Thank you, Bobby. And I also wanted to repeat your website one more time, since earlier I wanted learning to begin with an I so badly. That's www.quantum, then L as in learning, N as in network.com. So again, Bobby, thank you. And Jen, that was just so, so special. And, you know, it just... listening to you, it went so deeply. Here I am sitting here after 4 days on a stage with millions of people running around with a camera for my film. And I loved it when you said, and get more sleep, because I didn't even realize that I was not centered until the minute I started talking. So thank you, because as you talked, your insights were so deep and so profound that I truly feel actually transformed and more grounded. So thank you, honey.
Oh.
That was just so beautiful. I just love you so much.
Oh, thank you so much,
thank you.
Janet. Thank you, and thank you to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise for sponsoring this, and much love to everyone connected here tonight. I really feel your light and your love, and my love goes out to you.
Thanks, sweetheart. So, and for our listeners, you can get more of Jennifer, and I know you'll want to, by going to www.healthywealthynancywise.com/soulofsuccess. Again, www.healthywealthynancywise.com/soulofsuccess. Now, May 1 marks the third anniversary of the first issue of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and the magazine has grown from nothing with almost no capital to one of the leading resources for personal growth, health, and wealth creation on the Internet with over 100,000 subscribers. With 1,000 to 1,500 participants twice a month, this Passion Series is now the largest regular conference call series of its kind. So we have all of you to thank for the magazine's success, and oh yes, Jim, thanks for the great, great plug. That was so sweet of you. And on March 7th, we're going to have a very special call with the four co-founders of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, Liz and Rick Thompson, Chris Atwood, and myself. And the four of us were recently in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, doing strategic planning, and we created the magazine's new tagline, which you're the first to hear. It's, "When the story of your life is written, how will you feel about it?" Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise invites you to live the story of your dreams. So I hope you'll be with us when we talk more. On March 7th, we will tell you the story of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and it'll just be so, so much fun. So please, please join us. Then on March 21, we interview Bob Sheinfeld, grandson of Manpower, Inc., whose program, Busting Loose from the Money Game, is a major paradigm shift and will completely turn your world upside down about money. I know Chris came home just screaming about it, telling everyone, you've got to take this course. We have a confirmation for our April 4th interview. We just got it this morning. We're really excited. Robert Kiyosaki, the number one New York Times bestselling author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is going to join us. There are other great interviews coming up, so be sure you don't miss any of them. Now I'll hand it over to Chris so we can say good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us.